Good evening and welcome, folks, to another episode of the Hoop Talks podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Robson, alongside Sean Woodley. And Sean, there was a trade today that was colder for one of its participants than the way you treated me in your trivia bracket, leaving me on the outside after inviting me in.
I'm really sorry. For those who aren't familiar, I'm doing a trivia tournament on Locked On Raptors, and I invited Mitch to be part of it, and then I forgot I invited Mitch, and Mitch is not in the bracket. He's an injury replacement if someone can't go. I'm sorry. I feel really bad about it. I don't feel good, but what, hey.
I mean, I saw that like one of your top seeds also got upset in the first round, which really hurt because I wouldn't have done that. I just know that my performance would have been strong.
Oh, Sahal Abdi just
just flopped like the Duke, bed, yeah. Flopped like Duke against a mid-major school.
Yeah, he crapped the bed. What's a 14 that's beaten a 3?
I can't think of any. Baylor's always a 3 and loses to somebody.
That's true.
So Baylor like 2012, 14, 15.
Yeah, most years. Yeah, no, I feel really bad about it. I'm sure you'll get in at some point. Schedules are hard, and I'm sure someone will drop out at some point. But
and considering I don't really have a life.
Until then, you're in the NIT, and you can, you know, do stuff there, I suppose. I guess it's like kind of like a solo tournament, so you're just like, I don't know, just reading Basketball Reference by yourself. But
I inject it into my veins while I sleep.
We have more important things to talk about today, though, man.
We do. And it involves someone coming to the Detroit-Windsor area, a bigger star in that city since, I don't know, Rip and Chauncey?
Oh, you're cutting Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg short here.
I mean, I guess Matthew Stafford in terms of money.
Mekhi Phifer, the guy who played Cheddar Bob, I don't know.
That's way too beyond my years.
Fair enough. There's lots of different like iterations of the trade thrown around. So it's Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, a protected first round pick, and a second round pick going from the Pistons to the Clippers for Blake Griffin. That is the trade, right? And Willie Reed
Willie Reed and Bryce Johnson.
Oh, Okay.
Yes.
the very bad Bryce Johnson.
He just hasn't gotten a chance to shine, which he will in Detroit now, I would assume.
No, I don't think so. He was bad coming out of he wasn't good in the draft. He was trash. Bryce Johnson is bad. North Carolina does not make good pros. Shouts to Sean May.
Oh, and you're just gonna slight Vince and MJ like that?
Vince was like he's not really tied to them anymore. It's weird. There's like no Vince recognition with North Carolina.
And
not sure why.
To think he went to that graduation and now there's not even a recognition.
Just a travesty, really. There's like lots of different layers to this trade. It's a fun trade because it's weird and it doesn't make any sense for either team, I think.
No, it doesn't at all.
Yeah, but like I think it chaos is good and it might send both of these teams potentially into chaos. Who do you think won the trade?
That's tough. In terms of teams, or can I just go with an individual?
We can do both.
I think the guys leaving Detroit to go to L.A. are the real winners. And you're going off a team that slid out of playoff position in the East and are in a free fall now, 8 losses in a row. And you get to move from Detroit to L.A., which is pretty much as nice of a move culturally and city-wise as I think you could ever ask for.
Yeah, that's quite the upgrade.
Right?
And yeah, no, that you can't really argue with that. Would you say the Clippers also won the trade as a team here?
Well, yeah, and I mean, if you see the reports now from everyone that this is Jerry West's master plan to try to get LeBron to go there with, they're going to try to move DeAndre and Lou Will for the rest of the week and clear ultimate cap space.
Yeah, that's another layer really we can
works,
get to. Yeah.
It really works in their favor.
Yeah, that's another layer we can get to for sure. Again, there are lots of things to peel back in this one, and I think the LeBron thing's kind of the last thing for the Clippers. Yeah. My first takeaway from this is that, like, I think it's really smart of the Clippers, to be honest. I mean, the loyalty thing, Lee Jenkins tweeted about how for his meeting when they were trying to re-sign him in the summer, he took the meeting and they brought him in and they like lifted his jersey to the rafters while choir sang and they sang about him being a lifelong Clipper. Like, that's incredible. And the fact that they just traded him 6 months later is a little shady, I suppose. It's not like the
Is like, it though? I mean, like,
I mean, it's not shady because it's a business and whatever. And like, yeah. Blake took meetings with other teams, and it was, and they went back and forth on the no trade clause and whatnot. And there was no trade clause, probably for this reason. And
that's the shocking part to me is that, like, if you were the agent in that pitch with him, where they were talking about Clipper for life, you're our best player of all time, and all that, how do you not get a no trade clause in that deal?
I think probably with the injury stuff and like the you probably could have given him 4 years and no other team was going to be able to really, you know, pony up that money, because obviously there's still a little bit more extra money on an annual basis when you have bird rights. And I think with the injury stuff, like the no trade clause is just kind of a non-starter with him. Like if he was healthy his entire career, then maybe you could, you know, finagle that into a contract. But I just don't think that's really on the table with him, because there is a lot to worry about with him health-wise. And this is kind of the thing for me with the Pistons. Like, I get it if you're the Pistons, I suppose, a little bit. Like, you've been kind of irrelevant for the last 8 to 10 years since the heyday of those really great Chauncey Billups teams. But, and so, like, you need to try to, like, get back in the playoffs or whatever. Like, they're falling, as you mentioned, they're free falling.
They started off super well.
Yeah, the brand new arena, they started off super well. Like, it makes sense to want to make a splash like this. I just don't think this splash is going to pay off at all. Like, maybe this season they squeak into the playoffs, and I tweeted about this earlier. If they bump out the Philadelphia 76ers, if a, you know, panic win-now trade with very short-sighted implications ends up bumping the Sixers out of the playoffs, I'm going to be so unbelievably happy. But like, I don't even think that's going to happen. But still, if it does, if they do get in the playoffs, like, okay, fine. If you're okay selling your soul for the 8th seed, go nuts, I suppose. Maybe they're looking at the East and saying, hey, if it's Toronto or Boston number 1 or 2, maybe they're an easier out in the first round. Maybe we have a fighter's chance to make it to the second round with Blake Griffin. If you're only getting to the second round if you have Blake Griffin, but hey, that's better than nothing with the Pistons. So I get it from that perspective. I just don't really get it from, like, this isn't a complete team right now, and they don't really have any way to make it a complete team now because they've traded that first round pick. The second round pick obviously is an asset as well, and there's nothing on the roster where it's like, yeah, that guy's gonna grow into being like a core member of this team. Like maybe Luke Kennard. Ugh, I feel like the ship has kind of sailed on Stanley Johnson, even though he's the same age as Luke Kennard, which is weird. And then you have, like, I don't know, Reggie Bullock and Henry Ellenson. Like, these guys aren't blue chippers by any means, and it's I just don't really see where they go from here and how they build this team around Dwight and Drummond and Blake. It just seems like this is kind of the team they're going to be stuck with. They have lots of money tied up with, like, Reggie Jackson, and, you know, they have 3 Reggies on this team. Maybe they'll all start. Reggie Hearn is like the best wing on this team at this point, which is depressingly sad.
Reggie Bullock.
Yeah, well, Reggie Hearn and Reggie Bullock are going to compete for minutes as the starting two guard, I suppose, because there's not much in the way of wings on this team now because they gutted their entire wing depth. Like, KCP would be the best wing on this team right now had he still been in town, and that says something because he sucks ass. And, like, they're just kind of bereft of talent on the wings. Reggie Jackson's hurt. He's not the same player as he used to be. Ish Smith, like, are you going in with Ish Smith as your starting point guard right now? I don't get the roster. It's not a very well-constructed roster by any means, and I think it'll get eviscerated in the playoffs. And I'm also kind of concerned about the fit with Blake and Drummond because, you know, Blake and DeAndre, they made it work. It was fine. Blake kind of stretched his game out a little bit. He worked from the elbows a lot. He was a really good playmaker. Drummond kind of fancies himself a playmaker too, though, and, like, it's kind of the same thing with those two. It's not having Blake Griffin with a lob threat. Like, Drummond is more than a lob threat. He's kind of a good post player. He can pass out of the post a little bit, and his defense is significantly worse than DeAndre's is. Maybe he can get better. He's only 24. Maybe he can get better defensively, but, like, the effort definitely is not there with him. So it's kind of like a weird sort of clashing of styles with those two, and I'm sure they'll make it work, and maybe Drummond's assist numbers go down or whatever as Blake kind of takes over the reins of the team, but I just don't really see it fitting the same way that Blake and DeAndre did, and that was already a tenuous fit at best.
Yeah, and I mean, looking through that roster, like you said, it's basically like Drummond, Griffin, and then a bunch of guys who should be on a bench on a really good team. Yeah. So I'm not really sure what you're going to do depth-wise. I mean, if you run out Ish Smith and Stanley Johnson as a starting lineup in the playoffs, they're going to get destroyed. They can't guard anyone on the Raptors or the Celtics backcourt. Like, Kyrie Irving would absolutely annihilate Ish Smith, and Reggie Jackson's too slow.
Like, is Ish Smith the best player on this team after the Drummond and Griffin?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, or I guess Reggie Jackson, like whoever's healthy between those two, I suppose. But
yeah, I mean, Ish Smith is that guy that sits on the waiver wire in your fantasy league, but is always the first pickup when someone has an injury.
Yeah.
Because he gets those assists. But I think that's really like kind of what he is in the NBA. Like, he's good to step up when the team has an injury, but as a full-time starter, you can't rely on him because the shooting is just terrible.
Yeah, so I honestly feel like this is going to end up with the Pistons finishing ninth, realizing, like, oh, shit, like, we have a lot of roster building to do. I'm going to pull up their team sheet here to see what they have locked in for next season, but, like, it's not good, and I don't, like
what is even the move for them? It's the ultimate Stars and Scrubs move from SVG, which is interesting.
That guy is bad at his job, I think.
Well, I think this is one of those times where you see that the coach also being in charge of the front office has kind of made like a knee-jerk reaction to them falling out of the playoffs and going, oh, look, yeah, we can get this guy and he can bring us back up, but then not really thinking about how it's going to affect the team 4, 5, 6 years down the road, because as soon as he wants to get fired as the coach, it's someone else's mess to take care of.
Yeah, so next year they're looking at, they're over the cap essentially already with 10 players locked in for next season. 11 players locked in. Three of them are non-guaranteed. Bullock, Ellinson, and Eric Moreland, and that's like $5 million bucks combined. So they're looking at 32 for Blake, 25 for Drummond, 17 for Jackson, 10 for John Luehr. And then Galloway, Ish Smith, Stanley Johnson, Luke Kennard are on the team. And like, I feel like Kennard and Johnson can maybe become something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Stanley Johnson, I definitely would have taken a run at if I was the Clippers, even to try to get him as a throw-in. I'm not sure if they asked, but he's got potential, maybe just to the change of scenery to, because he's a top five pick. So,
well, he's, it sounded like he was eighth, right, in that draft?
Yeah, he was
like,
top 10 pick. Sorry, yeah,
yeah, the Justice Winslow draft. He was the pick ahead of Justice Winslow, and the Celtics tried to trade everything to get Justice Winslow. Never forget that. Yeah, like, I feel like Kennard could be something, at least a good shooter. Apparently, the Clippers tried to get him in the deal, but the Pistons didn't budge. And, like, rightfully so, because, hey, having young players is useful. Mm-hmm. And, like, Tobias Harris was kind of their main catalyst this season as well. So it's going to be, like, an adjustment period. It's going to be very much like, I think, like, last year with the Boogie and Davis thing, where for the first 20 games, it might not look good.
Yeah.
And maybe eventually becomes good. But, like, the roster around these guys is, like, very comparable, I think, to that Pelicans roster without Drew Holiday kind of being the third pillar. So I think they're just, like, like a no-name version of that Pelicans team, which is not something you want to be.
God, does that sound unappealing? But you're right. There's like, it's the same thing where you have a lack of wings, and that you don't even have like an all-star level point guard to make up for that.
Yeah.
I mean, Reggie Bullock's going to put up 8 threes a game now, so that's. I guess you could go. You could hope that maybe you play. I don't know, because you can't play really Anthony Tolliver at the three. But if he wants to go for that kind of peak Dwight era, like one guy on the inside and three shooters or four shooters, Blake Griffin can't really stretch the floor and shoot. So I'm not sure what the plan is.
What's their starting five as of right now? And is Reggie Jackson still hurt? I should probably look that up.
I think he is.
Yeah, he should be back at some point, you would think.
He's always in and out, though, and that's the problem with Blake as well. Like, these two guys aren't known for their longevity.
Oh, Blake, his, like, kneecaps are made of peanut brittle. I don't really understand how he's going to hold up.
All right, so Reggie Jackson's,
five more years.
Reggie Jackson's latest update was Friday. He will not even be cleared for activities for 3 weeks. So.
Yeah, so he's not going to be back for a while. So the starting lineup right now would be Ish Smith.
Probably have they started Kennard?
Probably Kennard
or Langston Galloway.
Oh my god!
And then Bullock at the three, and then Griffin and Drummond.
And then if you're filling out a rotation after that,
you're down to John Luehr and Anthony Tolliver, who are basically the same guy. Tolliver shoots a little more, and Luehr just rebounds a little bit more.
Yep.
And then you're down to just D-leaguers.
Kay Felder's on this team.
It's a D-League match.
I guess Stanley Johnson will get like 6-man minutes, I suppose.
Dwight Bikes
will factor in as the backup point guard.
Former
Dwight Rock. Bikes has been okay.
Willie Reed's been okay too, hasn't he? For the Clippers, he was okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
I mean, he
like,
was.
He's not.
He was
I mean, when you have Drummond, like he's just the backup center behind Drummond, who's playing 33 minutes a game anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't really see him being all that useful.
But I think that, yeah, like if you take Drummond out, maybe you could do some stuff with Blake at the five. But that's,
yeah.
I don't know if Stan will do that.
Eric Moreland is on this team. Sure.
Former King.
Yep.
There's a lot of former Kings on this team. I think that tells the story of why things are the way they are.
There's the thing is, like, there were lots of people kicking around, like, Kevin Love ideas with the Pistons, and I feel like that might have been made more sense because there's, I mean, obviously you'd have to have two to play with that, and the Cavs would have to want to trade Kevin Love, but if there was, like, an Avery Bradley and, you know, essentially the same package that went back, but for Kevin Love, like, I feel like that would have made more sense for both the Cavs and Pistons, much more sense than it would have made for the Pistons and Clippers for this trade. I don't see, like, where would you pencil in the Pistons? They're 22 and 26 right now. You would figure they have to go, 20, how many games do they have left? 34 games left?
They're three back of the Sixers right now.
Yeah. So you'd figure they have to go maybe 20 and 14 to get to 42 wins. Is that what it's going to take to get in the East?
42, probably? I think it's going to take between 40 and 42.
Yeah, so they have to go at least 18 and 16, maybe 20 and 14, something in there. And like 18 and 16, I suppose, is within the realm of possibility, but you have to, at least they don't have to jump any teams, but I just, like, I don't see the Pistons, the Sixers or the Pacers, like, falling off that badly. Because it's a three game difference right now.
What's interesting is they host the Cavs tomorrow night. So yeah. I know that they are pushing to get this deal done was the latest tweet from Stein. Like, they can get it done tonight so Blake can play tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which would be very interesting if he gets to run out there against the Cavs defense in his first game. I think that could be a cool thing to watch.
They also play the Clippers, I think, on Wednesday.
Yes, they host the next Friday. February 9th. I guess it's two Friday. Yeah, this Friday.
Why did I see a tweet about them playing this week?
So they're both on TNT tomorrow, but they're not playing each other.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Okay. I mistake.
They're the early game and the Clippers are late game.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like this for the Pistons. I think they're going to finish 9th and it'll be bad, and they're still locked into a lot of years of Blake Griffin being out with random ailments for 6 weeks at a time.
Has he played more than 60 games in the last 4 years? I don't know if he has.
I feel like I'm shitting on Blake Griffin too much because he is really good.
When he plays.
Yeah, like, he's excellent. He's the best player on the Clippers this season by far, even though Lou Williams is great for them.
I was going to say, this is just a trade to clear out for Lou.
Yeah, no kidding. But, like, yeah, so the most games, these are his games played total. His first four seasons were fine. He played 82, 66, and that was the lockout season, so he played every game. And then he played 80 and 80, and then 67, 35, 61, 33 in the last four seasons.
So it's more than I thought, to be honest.
No, the 67, 35, 61, 33 is bad. That's a lot of games missed.
Yeah.
Like, that's almost a third of his games that he's not played. That's ugly.
And it's not going to get better.
No, big it's men. Not going to get. He's like 29?
Yeah, big men don't age well. 27. Actually, only 27. But. The prime of his career in Detroit. Who would have thought you would say that about Blake Griffin after everything?
Yeah. What about for the Clippers? I mean, there's the reports that they want to sort of clear house and trade DeAndre and Lou, and they don't want to totally bottom out, and they want to go after LeBron this winter. Like, do you like the move for them? Because, again, I think it's probably not the worst idea. If you see an opportunity to get off of that money for Blake and, like, you look at your roster and think, hey, maybe this isn't just going to happen for us. I mean, I think there was some hope before the season that maybe they could be like a 50-some-odd win team with Blake and with DeAndre, with Gallo healthy, and like maybe that was a bad idea, investing in a team that has Pat Beverly, Gallinari, and Blake Griffin on it. But like, so if you look to the future,
yeah,
do you think this is ultimately going to be a good move for the Clippers?
Well, I mean, you have Jerry West there now. And it's kind of like what he did when he first got to Golden State, which was trade away David Lee, Bogut, and Monte Ellis, right? Or not Bogut, trade for Bogut. But he kind of cleared house of, like, the old guys that were kind of carrying that team while they were fighting for the 8 seed, like, low-level playoff team, just, like, outside of the lottery, that middle ground where you don't want to be. And he blew it up, and, I mean, look where that ended up. That would be, like, ultimate great scenario. But he's obviously – I'm surprised that Doc actually let it happen more than anything else.
Yeah, everyone's blaming Doc for this trade. Like, people don't seem to realize that he's not the GM anymore.
Definitely
yeah.
a Jerry West move. Like, yeah. clearly. Doc would not trade for guys that are no. under 30.
And I can't imagine Doc sticks around for a rebuild.
No, unless he gets Avery Bradley to, like, regain his Boston form somehow.
Yeah, he's been really bad this season. He's probably going to get traded, to be honest. Like, I that's what I would do if I'm the Clippers, is I would try to just, like, stack up on as many first-rounders as I can this season. They have their own first-rounder, which, like, if they completely gut their roster, could end up being pretty decent, although there's tons of teams to jump to get higher in the lottery. And they're probably going to have a second lottery pick with the Pistons. Like,
yeah,
that's going to be, like, the 14th overall pick, probably, or the 15th, the problem, or the 13th, or something like that.
The problem for them now is I think you're way too in deep to bottom out fully this year.
Yeah.
Because they're what? They're like not eighth. Aren't they sixth right now?
Yeah, they could still make the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right?
They really could.
The bottom of the West is bad enough that I don't know what the remaining schedule is, but like even just in division, you have Phoenix, Sacramento, and the Lakers.
So they're currently ninth. Yeah. They're currently ninth at 25-24.
But I expect the Pelicans to drop
out,
a little bit.
Boogie's out. The Nuggets have been uneven. It just so happens that all these teams are on mini winning streaks right now. The Blazers have also been kind of weird. Like, the Clippers are probably the worst of these teams, and maybe falling to ninth sort of cemented that this is the direction that they wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. But
Tobias Harris, and if they don't trade Lou and DeAndre, like, you talk yourself into that being the 8th seed, I think, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess they're thinking, what's the point of being the 8th seed when we're just going to get shit pumped by the Warriors? So maybe just try to just coerce the team down the standings a little bit, and maybe we will see Lou Williams traded and DeAndre. Like, if you trade those guys, you're getting first-round picks back for those guys. I mean, Lou Williams was worth a first-round pick last season, and he's been infinitely better this year than he was last year with the Lakers. So you're going to get a first-round pick back for him, even though he's expiring. Like, I think teams would be fine with that.
But what team would trade for Lou Williams a first-round pick right now? That really,
I guess it would have to be a desperate team, right? It would have to be a team. I mean,
but there's
maybe the Cavs.
There's so few of those. Yeah, like that's like the only one, because it's not going to be another team in the West.
Yeah, maybe the Cavs get desperate. Maybe like the Heat are like, hey, we have a fun team here. Maybe we can win a couple rounds.
Is that the thing? Like that's really the only two, and I don't know if the Heat have anything. They probably won't give a pick because Riley knows he's locked into that roster for so long. They need to get cheap guys on the back half to kind of develop.
Well, because the Heat, like, because they lost Deion Waiters, that's the only reason I say
they need another Deion, yeah.
But then again, Lou doesn't really fit their sort of motif, so maybe I'm just grasping at straws here.
That's the other thing.
Yeah, and they don't really have, like, money you could send out that would match either, so maybe that's silly, but, it's going to take a team that really needs, like, an extra scorer. I don't think the Rockets are doing that again. I think they're fine.
Yeah, no.
What if the Celtics go after Lou Williams?
The only likable Celtic.
Ooh, what about the Wizards?
Yeah, but they just gave up that pick for Bogdanovich last year.
Oh, right. Right? They have no picks
they don't
ever.
Have any picks.
That's right. I mean, it would continue the cycle of them just trading all of their picks for half-assed bench solutions.
Yes.
Maybe the Sixers fancy themselves a team that can pull an upset. I don't know. The Thunder, maybe.
Yeah, I did see the one trade where it was Melo for Lou Will and DeAndre. It was a trade machine screen graphic, which I know you're all about.
That's fun, but also dumb. It won't happen.
It won't happen, but I think it could really help the Thunder.
Oh, that'd be terrifying. Although, I don't know why you would put DeAndre Jordan and Steven Adams on the same team. That seems dumb.
Besides that part of it.
That's one of those dumb trade machine things where it's like, oh, who cares who's on the roster where the trade's happening? Let's just put this player on a roster. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out.
No, that's not how it works.
But that's how the Pistons did it. You just got Blake Griffin with Drummond, and you'll just figure it out.
Yeah.
What are the odds that the Clippers had been talking, because Woj reported that they had been talking about it for a week, and Stan Van was just playing around on trade machine when, oh, well, these four salaries work. I'll call Jerry up with this, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I wonder who like approached the other team first for this.
Well, and it was they
like are the Pistons so desperate that they were like, all right, we have to go after this guy who's locked in for 5 years, who has injury history, but hey, he's good, maybe he's gettable on this sort of bad team. Or was Jerry West like, oh my god, this contract is so onerous, let's find a dumb, desperate team and try to pawn him off?
I think it's most definitely the second option. And they said, who is the most Doc-like coach in the league? Stan Van. guys who were good in 07-08, and you just make the deal.
Is this trade for the Pistons, like, all that different from the Raptors trading for Rudy Gay?
Ooh,
like, I know Blake's a better player, it's a but good comp, it's though. Very similar.
Yes, because what was that? It was Davis and Calderon, right?
Yeah, and I think, like, a first, probably. Yeah, it was a first.
It's actually very similar.
It's, like, in structure,
to a lesser,
and also...
To, like, a B tier to an A tier of that, yeah.
Yeah, but also in just, like, guy whose job might be kind of tenuous at this point. Questionable fit between the guy coming in and the incumbent roster. Like, hey, let's stick Rudy Gay with DeMar DeRozan. That makes sense.
Non-distributing DeMar.
Yeah, and, like, thing that some other team is going to have to really sort of get creative with to, or that the other team is going to, like, the Pistons in this case, like the Raptors did, like, have to get creative in how they get out of the mess they've created for themselves. But, hey, congrats to Pistons fans for the really fun season you're about to have when they trade Blake Griffin for a bunch of Kings players at the start of next season.
Yeah, Vivek is actually the winner of this trade. Because he's going to call up the Clippers. And you
we'll
will
give
see.
You a,
Tobias
we'll give
Harris
you a scowl,
is the Kings' we'll new go-to a... guy.
Oh, no. I was thinking that they would trade for Blake next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That could definitely
work. So they'll trade, like, Scal and Vince Carter and Zach Randolph and maybe Quincy Acey, Patrick Patterson, Grievous Vasquez for Blake Griffin.
That's, you know what? I think that it works in the trade machine.
This is a dumb fucking trade. Good God. It's so fun, but so dumb. Like, came out of nowhere. Those are the best trades, too. And when Woj tweets they're in serious talks, you just know something is up. Like, yeah. You know it's coming.
You know
he doesn't,
it's
he
dropping.
Doesn't say that lightly. Yeah. This ain't Keith Smith. Like, he's not just throwing stuff out there because it's there. Like, that's legit. So, yeah, it's a fun trade. Okay, the one thing that sucks about this, and you pointed this out on Twitter like an hour ago, this kills the Rockets' Clippers beat before they even get to play again, which sucks.
Which sucks, but now knowing that they're the ninth seed and they weren't already in that playoff position, it's not as bad. I didn't know that. I thought they were still a playoff team. Mm. But it is very sad because now, like, it's just going to be DeAndre alone, and he's not ready to – he doesn't want to fight.
No, I don't think DeAndre wants out, man. He would gladly just, like, sneak through the tunnels and stick in the Rockets' locker room and just, like, leave with them, I think.
Oh, and Lou Will is too cool to fight. He's not wasting his time on that.
So we talked about the Lou Williams trade possibilities. Like, the DeAndre thing now, I think, is probably going to happen, you would think.
Well, if anything, this now lines up for that, like, Cavs alternate timeline where they can get DeAndre and Lou Will. For what? I don't know. It would have to be the Brooklyn pick and their own pick.
This thing with the Cavs, it's so annoying.
The,
like,
Cavs can make
Cavs
every
fans,
trade ever. Did
yeah, it's like listening
that?
To Cavs fans put together trades. It's like, you realize, like, that nothing is happening. Like, nothing is going out of value here, right? Like, why would the other team do it? Like, I think there's a reason why the George Hill thing broke down. Just because the Kings were getting shit all. Like, here are these big-ass contracts and a second-rounder for George Hill. Like, no, why? Like, you're going to waive Channing Frye anyway or buy him out.
It's definitely because Wendy went on the Zach Lowe pod. And they're like, well, we're not giving Wendy the satisfaction of this one.
Oh, man. Trades are... See, this is the thing. I bet no one made a trade machine deal featuring Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond.
These
and
are the best
fun
ones
as shit.
When it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. And also, none of the trades anyone has ever put into the trade machine have ever happened. So... Like, this one stands up to the test. Like, no one ever put it into a trade machine, therefore it was possible to happen.
No one ever made the Austin Day Fernando DiColo swap on the trade machine?
I don't think they did. Ugh, I mean,
that's a
that
shame.
Would be. Nando DiColo and Austin Day came up in yesterday's trivia.
See, this is another, like, shot in the heart as to why I should be in it.
Yeah. You had to name players on the 2013-14 roster.
I had read a tweet about how that was the Spurs' second trade in, like, 20 years.
What?
Yeah, that was, like, the only trade they had made in the past 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I was like, no way, this is true. But then you look through it. They only get guys through, like, because it was the same roster for so long.
Yeah.
They made the one trade for McDice, and then that was it.
Wow. Didn't trade for, like, Richard Jefferson? I guess they just signed him, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it was all free agent signings for movement on that roster.
Wild. Have we exhausted this trade pretty much, you think?
I think we have. I don't know if there's any... Another loser is Kendall. Kendall Jenner, a big loser.
Regale me on... I'm old.
Do you know why? Oh, my God. You're out on this?
I don't care at all.
They're dating.
Who is dating?
Kendall Jenner is Blake Griffin's booting.
Okay.
But the problem is now...
They're probably going to break up.
Well, yes, and, like, Kendall Jenner sitting courtside in Detroit just doesn't quite have the allure of Kendall Jenner courtside at Staples. You know?
I could not possibly care less about this.
The only good thing is
that... You're losing me so badly.
Kendall and Chloe can now make a Rust Belt spinoff since she's in Cleveland all the time.
Sounds,
I think that's something you would watch.
No, it certainly is not.
What about the lady friend?
No, she doesn't care either. I would not, like, who wants to watch, what's their name? Kendall and who?
Kendall and Chloe. Can you not name all the Kardashian sisters?
Well, Kendall's not a Kardashian.
Well, she technically is.
Who's she related to? Isn't she Bruce Jenner's daughter?
She's Bruce and Chris's daughter.
Or Caitlyn Jenner, my bad.
Well, it's Caitlyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's Kendall Jenner.
Yes. And she has a sister.
I don't know the name of that person.
You don't know Kylie Jenner? Oh my, this is like the oldest you've ever sounded.
Oh, okay. Kylie, I've heard the name. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what they look like.
Wow.
There's Chloe.
Yes.
There's Kim.
Yes.
The other one is, there's three, right?
There is three. It starts with a K.
Candace?
That's Courtney.
Oh, that's the trick question. Courtney starts with a C.
She spells it with a K. You know, she's also never been married to an NBA player, so I can understand why that one's out of your realm.
This is the most dad you've ever sounded. This is beyond things that I care about.
The Jenner Kardashian family is a big loser in this Blake trade. Blake Griffin's stand-up career is a big loser.
Hey, Detroit's got a
booming comedy
scene, and I'm sure Windsor has some clubs too. There's
casinos.
Gonna say,
yeah, Caesar's Palace, the one night they get Blake, is gonna be. I might have to make that drive. I don't think there's any other winners.
No. I mean, the most
Montrezl Harrell gets to win. He gets to play.
Yeah, the rest of the East is fine. The Pacers and Sixers are probably winners out of this.
What's your fear factor of this Pistons team getting in the playoffs if they had to play? If it was Raptors Pistons game one, ACC, April 20th, 12:30 p.m. start.
Not even remotely scared. Ooh. Not even a little bit.
Fave this podcast moment and come back to it.
Jonas owns Andre Drummond.
But
absolutely owns him.
Hasn't Blake been a Raptor killer?
Not really. The Raptors usually kick the piss out of the Clippers.
Yeah. The first Rudy Gay game was against the Clippers.
And also, they don't have any guards. They have two players.
Langston Galloway could be a stopper.
No.
Stanley Johnson is the self-titled LeBron stopper.
I so badly hate the fear-mongering that comes with Raptors playoff. Like, they're not losing to the Pacers or the Sixers in the first round. They're not losing to... Like, the only team that's remotely scary of all the teams kind of in that range are the Bucks, and the Bucks are probably going to be, like, the 5 seed.
Yeah.
They're not scary.
Well, the Bucks are now a juggernaut ever since they fired Jason Kidd.
Yeah, they've really...
They're 5-0, so...
They've gone to town... They're 4-0. They've gone to town on juggernauts such as the Nets, the Bulls, the Suns, and the Sixers without Joel Embiid. So we'll see.
Did you see the ending to the Celtics Nuggets?
No, what happened?
So Will Barton launched a shot from half court, and it got tipped in, but it was after the buzzer went.
Oh, shit.
So the Celtics win again. In those awful black jerseys.
Oh, they're so trash.
Yeah,
they're terrible. Hey, well, hey, color me shocked that the Celtics couldn't beat an inferior team by more than a point.
Maybe they should have traded for Blake Griffin.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure there have been columns on
a certain
on Boston.com, aka The Ringer, about that trade that had never happened.
This is just Chris Mannix is somehow spinning this Blake Griffin trade into how the Celtics are going to get Anthony Davis because
Danny,
of the West.
Danny Ainge is a genius for this.
He orchestrated this move because he's going to now get DeAndre from the Clippers for cheap.
Yeah, good God. Yeah. Are we done here?
I think we are.
Have we exhausted this trade? I think we've covered all of our bases, will. I think.
We'll have to save our current idea that you didn't get to hear about today for next week's pod.
Yeah.
And that's why breaking news is good, kids, because it keeps ideas in the memory bank.
Yeah, it wasn't like one of our better ideas anyway, so maybe we can kick the can down the road and come up with a new idea for next week.
That's very possible. What do you have?
It kind of depends on if people are like fighting over the course of this week. If not, then maybe the idea is out of date anyway.
Well, I would love for Blake to play tomorrow and get in a fight with Isaiah.
Everyone just seems to hate Isaiah, huh?
Yeah, did you see the love bend over and pass thing was like
unbelievable. Peak moment for me. Unbelievable.
Because he said... I think it's great that there's infighting because Isaiah was the one leading the charge against Kevin Love, right?
So. Oh, yeah. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Derrick Rose can take 2 months off for a sabbatical because he's a piece of garbage. And Kevin Love is sick for 2 days and he gets ripped apart by Isaiah Thomas, who has played 8 games for the team, and Dwayne Wade, who is old as shit. And was neither of those guys were there for the finals. Neither of those guys made the stop on Steph on the final possession of game 7. Like, how about you fuck off? I'm team Kevin Love on this.
I actually am too. I feel bad for Kevin Love because he's just a good, funny dude who deserves better. And I hope he gets out of Cleveland. Because
Isaiah Thomas seems like a miserable human being to be around. Say, every team hates him.
And those videos of him just off to the sides during intros and like stuff. Like,
yeah.
Dude, like, why do you act like the world is against you? Everyone like roots for you because you're 5'4" and like...
I'm staunchly anti-short player. I don't like it.
Yeah, but I think it, like in terms of like the general public and the narratives and all that, people are like jazzed.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Oh, he's small. He's like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
actually, he probably is like you because most people are terrible. So.
Oh.
That's probably too mean.
A great parting shot from you.
It's probably too mean, but hey, whatever. Isaiah Thomas seems like a miserable teammate. And I'm okay saying that.
Speaking of miserable teammates, what do you have coming on the internet this week?
Wow.
Ooh.
That was...
Right? That was because we both contribute to Twitter's miserableness.
Oh, that's true. I don't know, Lockdown Raptor stuff. Actually, I have a very fun guest coming on the podcast tomorrow.
Oh, am I coming on?
No.
Oh, I didn't know
good
that.
God, no. I hesitate to tease who it is. But I haven't teased it anywhere else, so I'll tease it here. And if you listen to this podcast, you'll know to tune in. Max Kerman from the Arkells is coming on the podcast.
Wow, you're getting someone from the Arkells? You're big time now.
So he's going to be on the podcast.
That'd That's cool.
Got some other stuff I'm working on as well, guest-wise. And
love
then,
it.
What else? Yeah, writing stuff. I'll be at the Wolves game tomorrow, so I'll write something off of that for Raptors HQ.
Exciting. I will also be there because I want to see the Jimmy Butler show.
Hell yeah. And Andrew Wiggins, baby.
Good Wiggins.
Yeah. And all the Canadian media, all the news stations that are at the game covering
yes.
it. How does it feel to be a Canadian playing in Canada?
When's his contract? Oh, no, he just signed the extension, right? I was going to say. I was really looking forward to the I think it would have been next summer if he hadn't signed the extension of, well, Andrew Wiggins, free agent. Toronto
is
here.
He's coming 1 year after Giannis does, so don't worry.
Okay, so we're lining that up. That works for me.
It'll be all good.
Perfect.
That's right. He was drafted 1 year after Giannis, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be trying to find a way to trade up. Someone will write the trade DeRozan for RJ Barrett column at some point because of nationalism. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. No, it'll be Giannis in 2021, Wiggins in 2022. Title in 2023. It'd be fantastic.
I like it. That works for me. In terms for me this week, there's only one thing. It's the last time Jordan Henry and I will be calling a game together on Friday. It's the end of an era.
Oh, so, man.
OUA.TV on Friday for the Battle of the Six, as Ryerson is marketing it. I don't really like that, but U of T versus Rye. We need a win after your Ravens waxed us on Saturday night.
Color me shocked.
This is actually a good Ravens team. Like, it's not annoying as it used to be. Like, it's still pretty annoying. But, like, there's less annoying white guys than there have been in the past.
Yeah, Mooney's Tutu's just...
He's a stud.
He's real good.
Him and Joseph and Eddie Ekior. Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It's probably
Sorry, man.
Another trip to Halifax ending with a Ravens championship for me.
Is this going to be the most dominant Ravens win ever? Their team is dope.
I was reading some stuff that said the 2011-12 team was the other most dominant one because they didn't lose a game all year. They went like 37-0.
Was that Tyson Hines?
I think so. I think that was the last Hines year, the last year with Osvaldo Genty too.
Right, right.
And then they had the Scrubs like in their first year and everyone. Yeah.
Oh, so. Yeah. I think the Scrubs were in their first year during my first year at school. So I think that would have been their second year, 2011-12.
That, that does make you sound younger than you
profess
your Kardashian opinions.
I don't profess to be young. I mean, I am, but not at heart.
Well, there you
I'm
go.
An old soul.
So, yeah.
All right. Let's wrap this damn thing up.
OUA TV, Friday. We're going to have our own personal top 10 of funny moments. So, you know.
Are the Rams going to make the Final Eight?
Ooh. So currently,
is this a touchy subject?
Yeah, because it's really not looking like it unless they somehow pull out a road win against Laurentian and Kadre Gray, who's probably the best player in Canada right now.
Oh, he's so goddamn good!
Yeah, he's a triple double threat every night. Like, it's I want to know who's paying him to play in Sudbury, because why else would he not go to Carleton or Ryerson or someone else? But yeah, so the Rams have to win in Laurentian, and then they'd have to go down to Brock and win, a place where they haven't won in like 5 years. So it's not looking great. But, yeah, we're going to stick it out, and maybe there's a Cinderella run.
Manny D, baby. Let's see.
Manny DeRisa, Blake Murphy's favorite CIS player.
Maybe he can just get 50s the last two games, even in losing causes, and make it all worth the while.
It's coming.
All right, man.
Good to talk to you.
Good luck to the Rams. I would say good luck to Carleton, but they don't even need it. They could have all the bad luck happen in the world, and they would still be amazing. So
Rams going to trade for Blake Griffin and come for the Ravens. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.